held in front of City Hall in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, commemorating annually on the third Monday of January, in honor of Dr. King's birthday, which would have been his 97th. The event honored him as a leader who spoke clearly and courageously about racism, centering the parts of his legacy that challenged systems of power and demanded justice beyond symbolic unity, alongside his opposition to militarism and economic injustice. Speakers and participants noted that today's celebration of a civil rights icon comes at a moment when federal agents' immigration enforcement actions and use of force has ignited national debate and outrage, renewing conversations on accountability and equality, underscoring the continued relevance of King's message. The march highlighted how those struggles against exclusionary laws and state violence in King's time echoes eerily in today's fight for justice and dignity. The event was hosted by the Anti-Police Terror Project and emceed by its co-founder, Kat Brooks, who introduced the first speaker, George Galvis, the founder and executive director at Communities Unified for Restorative Youth Justice, opened the ceremony.
I'm a Thakiyaki Niyaniwashtay. I say hello, my relatives. Today is a good day. Just want to acknowledge we are here in the traditional village of Shituchin, occupied, unceded Wakmaloni territory. We're representing it's an intertribal drum, representing many different nations. And before we begin, I think it's just critical that we send prayers and energy to our relatives in Mini, Sota, Makoche, otherwise known as Minnesota. What we are witnessing is a continuation of the genocide that began in 1492. And it's apparent that they're targeting tribal communities. If anybody knows the history of this director of Homeland Security, she comes from South Dakota, and she was banned from every tribal community in her own state because of her toxic, white supremacist, racist, fascist practices. This is a very intentional campaign targeting indigenous people. And we know that when we don't stand up for folks today, well, guess what? They're coming for us tomorrow. So we stand in absolute solidarity. I want to bring my elders here, my Uncle J.R. Lewa, my Auntie Valerie Tule Lewa, whose land we're on, Wailaki, and Kashaya Nations of the North Bay.
Good afternoon, relatives. Thank you for allowing me to be here. It's an honor to be amongst all of you. I was raised in the Mission District of San Francisco, and I know Oakland stole a lot of our activists, and here you are, and your children and your children's children, okay? So I respect that. I'm here, okay? Because Oakland always represents. We're getting a little soft over there. I'm just saying, you know? And so I just want to uplift each and every one of you for being here and for honoring Dr. King and all of the freedom fighters. He crossed lines. He met with Cesar Chavez. He met with Malcolm X. He was universal. He understood our struggle as people of color. And so I want to honor and call out his name, and I also honor your ancestors for being here. And I'm also going to call out the ancestors of Renee Good. Okay? White folks don't always do the right thing, but when they do the right thing, we got to call them out. So thank you all. Thank you all for being the Renee Goods of this community. Of this community. And may we wrap our spiritual arms around her children. She sacrificed her life, and she has kids now that will grow up without their mother. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here. I thank you, and I ask the ancestors to continue to guide you to do the right thing. Thank you, Oakland. Aho matakuyase. So they're going to open up. There is this country that has what they call a national anthem. I don't stand for it, and I hope you guys don't stand when you hear it, okay? There's also a Black national anthem. Did you know that there's an American Indian Movement national anthem? It's called the AIM song, and they're gonna open up with it. Thank you.
Culture. Is that all right with y'all? We handle just a little bit more culture, a little bit more culture. All right, up next is Oakland's first poet laureate, the founder and director of the Lower Bottom Players, the oldest Black theater troupe in Oakland, California, Mike S. Cajon. Y'all make some noise for Double Dot, Aya Dele,
Horace Slinger,
Inzinga.
What's up, Oakland? I can't even tell you the plan of God. See, if they don't feed us, they can't starve us. Even if you've been disinvested in quietly and polite tones for years, you gotta understand, night done fell. Winter is here. See, now, you can disappear. You can get it on TV in the daytime. There is no longer a quiet part. I'm hiding your face, and if you don't know, now you do, you better plant a garden. Whoever you are, never doubt they'll come for you if the mob wants to, if the goons say to. You better plant a garden. The boogeyman is out in the daylight, coming to a hood near you. Black jackets, red, white, and blue. Some old new news, but all broke don't work like you thought it do. You better plant a garden. What do you do if the ones that come look like you? See, that's what that paycheck do. Still hunting runaways, still cuffing and locking. We'll kill for pay in the USA. You better plant a garden. Government by crash dummy. Running dogs fade talking heads in the land of milk and honey. White hot out the closet and running over borders and human rights. legally legal or illegally immoral, this is where we at. Wide awake, late zone, different day, same song. Try to burp, but still going. You better plant a garden. You've been getting ready. Sometimes you got to believe them the first time. You already knew while they attempt to erase history in you. Plant a garden. Plant two. Remember the groove for you. Tend the garden. Buy land. Build something. Liberate something. Free yourself. Free your mind. Demand your peace. Create some ease. Even when night is falling. Even when winter's here. Even when it's perfectly clear. Remember what you always knew. You know what you gotta do. Plant a garden. Stand on wisdom. Follow rope. Be a light. Never give up hope. Look out for the old people and the babies. Serve the people. Teach somebody something. Learn something. Be a resource. Plant a garden. Share a harvest. They never fed us, so they can't starve us. Your ancestors say you are the garden. Your ancestors say you are the harvest. Remember, if they never fed us, they can't starve us. Protect black immigrants. ICE out of the bay. U.S. out of everywhere. Stop shock, spotter, mass surveillance. End mandatory minimums. Stop the sweets. Stand up against genocide in Palestine, the Sudan, and Congo. And plant a garden.
All right, I'm gonna do the bullshit. The babies, y'all. The babies. We get up every morning and we do it for the babies. How many of y'all done heard of Young, Gifted, and Black? Y'all heard of Young, Gifted, and Black? Make some noise if you've heard of Young, Gifted, and Black! I've been watching them
some variation version of them for 20 years, and there was not a single time I've watched them and I have not cried. Not a single time. All right, y'all, we're gonna keep it pushing here. If you don't mind, I'm gonna holler at you for a second. I wanna take a minute and I wanna acknowledge the fact that a lot of you are really scared right now. I wanna take a minute and I wanna acknowledge that a lot of you are in a lot of pain right now. I wanna take a minute and I wanna acknowledge that a lot of you are real confused right now. I wanna take a minute and acknowledge that a lot of you are walking with some severe anxiety and depression right now. Honoring and validating our humanity is just as critical to revolutionary struggle as fighting in the streets. We are fighting for humanity, so we must be in touch with our humanity. If I didn't have an emotional reaction to that, I couldn't do my job. It would mean that I had allowed this system to numb me out so much that I no longer felt the impact of what it's doing to my people, which would make me useless as a servant. Last year was the time we lived there. The shock, the awe, the fear, the depression, the sadness last year, when we were sort of, what the f*** is happening, right? We had a lot of those moments last year. We know what is happening. The federal government has waged all-out war on the people. That is what is happening. And it is not just happening in Minneapolis. Love, prayer, strength, energy to Minneapolis, because they are where it's at right now. That is not the only place it is out right now. Just like LA was a testing ground, Minneapolis is a testing ground for just how much the people will take and just how much the people will resist. And it's not an accident that they are doing that test in Minneapolis. Some of you might remember 5 years ago that Minneapolis was the explosion of the largest response to state terror in the history of this country. It happened internationally. It was built on decades and decades of work. It didn't happen out of thin air. Minneapolis didn't just wake up and start a revolution. In fact, that revolution started in Oakland, California in 2009, but that's a different speech. But it was a point of resistance that this country is and forever will be mad about. Right? Minneapolis is currently paying for being a point of resistance. In the same way that Oakland, California has never stopped paying for being the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. There was a lot of hoopla and jumping up and down in celebration. People was popping their collars and feeling themselves because we ran the fuckers up out of here in a day and a half. They're coming back. I need you to be clear about that. They are coming back. And they are coming back with a fervor and a ferocity and a vengeance like what you are seeing in Minneapolis. Why? Because we are a point of resistance. Because we are a place that fights. Because we are a place that ain't afraid to go toe-to-toe with the police, FBI, CHP, whatever they call them, ATF. Oakland is about that business. I'll also say that's not all of y'all's jobs. There's a lot of false flagging happening right now. Some of you ain't old enough to know what that means. Ask the elder sitting next to you. Some of y'all is false flagging right now. Talk about what you finna do, what you gonna do, but when the police get here, that's not helpful. It's not helpful, A, to announce to the enemy what you're gonna do, and it's really not helpful if you ain't really finna do it. Now that's some people's work. It is some people's work to be out there and really getting down and get about it. That's not everybody's work. Y'all have heard me say this before. We need people to cook food. We need people to watch the kids. We need people to take pictures and document the people's resistance. We need people who know how to get the water running again when they shut it off as a way to shut us down. We need people that know how to get us electricity when they cut off the power as a way to cut off our rebellion. We need all roads in and everybody with boots on suited up and booted up to do the job that makes your heart sing, that the people need, and the job that the neighbor next to you don't want to do. It takes all of it and all of us. It is not glitzy. It is not glamorous. There is nothing. You could ask the Panthers. You could ask the members of the Black Liberation Army who are alive today how romantic it is to sit in a box for 40 years straight with no contact with anybody else but your cage. You can ask the children whose parents were murdered in the streets for being black and militant what it was like to grow up without the mother and the father. This is not about glitz, glam, fame, the media, or your ego. Our lives and our liberation are on the line, and everybody has got to fall in line. In your appropriate and proper line of resistance, it is all resistance, all of it. In fact, the folks that got us closer to the line of freedom are mostly the folks you never heard of and you don't know about. Them's the real soldiers. Them's the real warriors. We have got to build up organizing and organization. We have got to get the ego out of the work. We've got to get back to the grit and the grime. And the grind is going to get us what we need to get to the finish line. And I don't know about you, but I have no interest and simply surviving this period of time, and it is a period of time. I have no interest in just surviving it. My interest is in us working together to organize our way through this so that when we beat these motherfuckers back and we're on the other side, we are in a better and different place than we were when this started, and the material conditions of our people have changed for the better. When we say never again, we gotta mean never again for any of this. Never again. We're done with it. This is it. This is the last stand. This is the last fight. And we ain't gonna win tomorrow. This is a protracted struggle against the state. So we better get shored up with the skill set that we need to make that happen, because babies, it's possible. It is more than possible. It's what the ancestors, creator, whoever, whatever you talk to, they have their hands on us and they are walking us to it and through it. A reporter asked me why this King Day was different or more special than any other ones. And I don't know that it is. Every year I stand up here, I'm talking about some jacked up ass conditions that we in the middle of, that we fighting through. But I've been thinking about Dr. King, and I've been thinking about the Freedom Riders. And I've been thinking about the black babies, the four black girls in Birmingham. While this political moment is unique because of the way it is expressing itself, it is not unique for America. There's a part of me that don't understand where we're going. I can't believe it. They bombed churches. They hung my ancestors from trees and cooked and ate and partied underneath them. They murdered Dr. King. They murdered Medgar Evers. They murdered the white ladies that was helping the people register people to vote in Mississippi. We couldn't drink from water fountains without risking our lives. Fascism has been alive and well in this country as long as this country has existed in the formation it exists today. And that fascism has always been uplifted by, maintained by, violence. My grandmother told stories about being on UC Berkeley's campus and her Japanese classmates being drugged out of there into internment camps. It's different, but it ain't new, y'all. So we uplift the legacy of Dr. King today, his radical legacy of resistance. Yes. We learn from what they taught us. We get our egos and ourselves out of the way. We shore up our skill sets. We build relationships with our neighbors. We stop set tripping on Instagram. And we build a movement that is worthy of the legacy, the radical legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. That is the assignment, that is the job. If you want to stand and make some noise.
Throughout the day, the atmosphere remained grounded and intentional. Performances by the Young Black and Gifted Children's Choir, liberation leaders, and poets created moments of reflection and connection, while organizers and community leaders shared powerful messages rooted in lived experience. Kamaya, a 17-year-old San Leandro High student with the Social Justice Academy, spoke candidly about gaps in the education system and need for more honest, inclusive, and well-rounded perspectives on Dr. King's legacy.
I feel like Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy is very important, not only because like I feel like how they use him, like how they tokenize him. I feel like one of the main things like I want to focus on like coming here today is kind of spreading the word about his radical legacy, because I see all the time, or like when I was growing up, like in elementary school or like through middle school, I kind of saw how it was kind of pit against, how he was pit against Malcolm X. But then when I got to high school, after joining the Social Justice Academy, I got to learn more about like his radical legacy and like how, you know, later in his life, like he actually wasn't just, you know, whitewashed to kind of fit this narrative of what a black person should be. And like even growing up, you could tell, like it never felt like, oh yes, like it was just mainly they used him for like a white and black issue, and like as if racism was a white and black issue. And I never really liked that growing up, because I myself am biracial, and I never felt like racism and things like that has only been like a white and black issue. And I feel like in the way that they showed him and like portrayed him, it was like, oh, this is like, you know, this is all there is to it. But then like when I got to SJ, and like when I got to like join Urban Peace, like when I got to all these different programs and I got to learn, like he spoke out against so many different things, like the war that was happening in like Vietnam and things of that, like he spoke out against so many different things, and it wasn't just like a white and black issue for him. And I feel like that's something that should be talked about and should be portrayed to the youth. Everything he was saying about like the past, about like how the government is like using our money, like using our resources to fund these wars and sending like innocent people to die and propaganda. I feel like in today's political climate, they're literally doing the exact same thing, especially with how ICE is treating people and how like everything is going. I think people need to realize and like stop trying to like use that, like stop being divided in that sense, and come together and realize this is like an everybody's issue. It's not racist versus like different races, but instead like us versus the top percent, if that makes sense. That's why I feel like today is very important, and like why he needs to still, like as a figure that should still be talked about and like remembered, because what he's saying then, it's still very true now, like decades later.
After the speeches, hundreds lined up for the march, taking over Broadway Street, where they head to Jack London Square with signs in hand and in solidarity. KPFA will post the full audio from today's event at kpfa.org. For KPFA, I'm Shania Anderson.